God's grace is enough. We don't need nobody. We don't need any other strength, because his grace is enough. This morning, I bring you grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, who have called us into faith. Does anyone in this room have a need in your life? And I suspect that everyone under the sound of my voice this morning has some kind of need or many needs. In fact, I will go to a step further and say that most people in this room today have one or more major needs in their lives, and they do not see how that need can be met. You've tried everything, you've thought about it, you have worked it out, and it still seems to be there. Some people are looking at devastating family problems. Some are looking at financial difficulties. Some are looking at a problem with a child. Some are looking at their own souls and realizing that they need God. Some are looking at diseases and wondering what lies ahead. Some are looking at their parents and realizing they wouldn't be here forever. Why? I could literally stand here all day and not exhaust the list of problems that people are facing today. In the midst of your problems, you need someone to help you. You need someone you can turn to for your solution. You need God to work in your life. You don't need him to lift every burden, just the heaviest. You don't need him to move every mountain, just the highest. You don't need God to give you the whole loaf, just a crumb. That is the situation we are looking at in the passage this morning. Jesus is approached by a mother who is in a desperate situation. She needs something in her life. She comes to the Lord, and as she does, she is not asking for the whole loaf. She is just asking for a crumb. She knows that a little crumb is better than nothing at all, especially when it comes from the hands of Jesus Christ. And so as I preach this text today, I want you to get something from it. I want you to know that there is hope for your situation today. No matter what it is you think you need today, whatever it is, there is hope for it. God holds the key to it. He has the keys in his hands. I want you to take this text and the plight of this poor woman and share a few thoughts that teach us that a crumb from the master's hand is more than enough. Let's examine the passage together and find the help we need for our own lives today. The first thing we want to look at is this woman's petition. This woman's petition in Matthew 15, verse 22 reads, "A Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him crying out, 'Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed, suffering terribly.'" Now, the first thing we want to see from this text is the reason she came. The woman came to Jesus because she was concerned about her daughter. The child was demon-possessed and was probably acting out in violence and anger. She needed help in a very desperate way. All right, this is why sometimes we need to thank the Lord for the problems that come in our lives. Because the reason God brings those problems in our lives is so that we can turn to him. Imagine living in a world where there was no problem at all. And if there was no problem at all, there would be no need for prayer. There would be no need for God. Like some of the rich people think today, that they have enough. And there is no need for God. And so problems come in our lives. We thank God for problems, because when problems show up, we can look to the hills. For whence come our help? Our help comes from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. Now, we talked about the reason she came. Look at the reason she cried. The word cried speaks of one carrying out or crying out or shouting another, after another, rather. The woman was following after Jesus. She was following after Jesus as she cried out to him. All right? Shouting out to him for help, the help she needed. Why was she so frantic? She was heartbroken over the condition of her child, and she was determined to get her child the help she needed. The problem with the church today is we do not have the kind of resilience that we find in this woman. We come to God with a problem, and when we come to God with a problem, we are not able to remain steadfast in prayer until the answer comes. We pray for a short time, and because of our short patience, we stop praying. We quit praying and find other solutions to solve the problems that may not even solve the problem. Instead of keep being steadfast until an answer comes, we don't do that. But we can learn from this woman's resilience as she comes to the Lord. With all of the resistance that she faced, she remained steadfast before him, praying and crying to him for the help that she needed. The church needs to be strong today. And this is the reason why God gave us the fruit of patience as one of the fruit that we need to be successful in this life. Because to maximize your potential spiritually, one has to be patient in waiting on God. Scripture tells us that those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. All right? And now we need to pray and say, God, teach me how to wait. We see this resilience in this woman. Look at the reason she called. In recording this same event, Mark tells us in Mark 7:25 that this woman had heard of him. Perhaps she had heard about him, about how Jesus had healed all manner of diseases, about how he had opened the eyes of the blind and unstopped the ears of the deaf, about how he had driven the demons from other peoples. And so she may have heard about how Jesus had gone over to the country of Gadarenes and had delivered the man possessed by a legion of demons. She may have said, if he can deliver that man from a legion of demons, surely he can deliver my daughter from this grip of this one devil. And so she remains steadfast with him. Hearing the word of God is so important, it's so essential to the growth of a Christian. Knowing God's word is very important. The Bible says she heard about him. Have you heard about the Lord? And have you hidden the word of God in your heart, so that when trouble time comes, you can go back on those words and then find hope in Jesus Christ? She heard about the Lord. Now, how many of you can identify with this poor, anxious mother this morning? Perhaps you are dealing with a child that is out of control. Perhaps you are at your wit's end over some situations in your life and you need help. Perhaps you have exhausted every means at your disposal and do not know where to turn for help. Maybe what you need is salvation, or maybe what you need is restoration and forgiveness. Whatever the need in your life may be today, you should take a lesson from this woman and get that need to Jesus. Get your need to Jesus regardless of what you face in your life today. The answer will be found in him. He is the only answer for the world today. He can move your mountain, meet your need, save your soul, forgive your sins, touch your loved ones, your need, you just name it. He can do it all. He can do it all, no matter what it is. You bring it to Jesus this morning, and he will solve your problem. Don't be afraid to call on him. He invites you to come. Jesus says, come in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. He says, and I will, not I may, but I will give you rest. In Isaiah 55 verses 1 through 3, he reads, come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, all right, and without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, or your labor on what does not satisfy? He asked this question. Listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful, loved promise to David. And so God is calling us to him. You do not have to bear the burdens alone. Bring it to Jesus because he cares. He says to us in 1 Peter 5, 7, cast all your cares, all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. God cares for you this morning, my friends. He cares for all of us. And we know this to be true because he came and put on human flesh. He came and went to the cross and died so that you and I may have life. Greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend. Jesus cares about you, and he loves you. And if he can bring you back to wholeness and restore you to everlasting life through dying on the cross, what is it that he cannot do for you, my friends? He can do it. Give Jesus a hand of praise this morning. Let's look now. We looked at this woman's petition. Now let's look at the woman's persistence. In Matthew 15, verses 23 through 27, Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him, Lord, help me. She said, he replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Now, this woman came to Jesus for help, and when she doesn't get the response she imagines, she stares after Jesus until she gets what she wants. And so, look at the obstacles of faith in verses 23 through 27. He says, to see that her need was met and her daughter was healed, this woman had to overcome many obstacles. It seems that she met resistance to her request at every turn. Yet, she persisted until she achieved her goal. So let's examine some of the obstacles that she faced and she had to overcome by faith. The first one is she had to overcome race. In verse 21, it tells us that this woman was from Tyre and Sidon. Verse 22 adds that she was a Canaanite. This tells us two things about this mother. First, she was descended from a cursed people. When Joshua led the people of Israel into Canaan, they had been commanded to totally destroy the Canaanites. Deuteronomy 7 verse 2 speaks of that. She was a member of a doomed race. Second, she was from a region known for vile religious practices. This woman had two strikes against her from the very start. All right? Next thing, she had to overcome religion. She came to Jesus and called out to him and said, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Here she was, a Gentile mother crying out to a Jewish Messiah. She had no right to come to Jesus through the door of Judaism. She was a Gentile, and he gave her the response she deserved. He answered her not a word, the scripture says. All right? Folks, when you look at this, you understand that we don't deserve it. We don't deserve to be called children of God. We are just as much Gentile as this woman was. But oh, by the grace of God, By his grace, we are here today. By his grace, we have been redeemed. We did not work for it. We didn't earn it. We had nothing to do with it. But Jesus came into this world, and he died so that we can have life. We don't deserve it this morning, my friends. We are just like this mother this morning. And so the next thing we see this woman had to deal with, she had to overcome racism. When the disciples see and hear this Gentile calling out to their Messiah, they reacted by telling Jesus to send her away. They wanted nothing to do with her. Sent her away. She was not one of their people. In their eyes, she was different, and that was enough to justify them not caring about her at all, because she was different. Because she was different. And this is the problem with our society today. People are not caring for one another because we look different. But I thank God for Jesus, because when he came into the world, the Bible tells us that he came and he died for the sins of the world. That includes everyone. That includes the Asians, the Africans, the American, everybody he died for on the cross. And just like he did, so the church ought to do as well. We need to love one another, no matter the colors of our skin. Notice also she had to overcome rejection. As Jesus speaks to this woman in verses 23 through 26, his words appear harsh to her ears. His words must have shaken her to the very core of her being. His words probably broke her heart. First, he simply ignores her. It is as if he turns an indifferent ear to hear her cry or stuff like that. Then he tells her that his whole purpose in coming to this world was to reach the lost sheep of Israel. All right, when she persists, Jesus tells her that she is a dog and does not deserve the children's bread. The rejection, the disciples rejected her, and now it appears that Jesus is rejecting her too. Now, let's look at how she had to overcome reality. The realities of this situation are harsh, very harsh. Her daughter was possessed by a devil. She was a member of a doomed race. These religious men did not seem to care about her or her situation at all. It must have appeared to her that her situation was hopeless. Have you ever had to face reality in your lifetime like this? Where you felt rejected, where you felt that no one was listening to you. Only you understood the problem that you were faced with at the given time. Have you felt that before? But you have to understand this, folks. In the midst of all of this, Jesus knew this woman before she was formed in her mother's womb. So some of you are looking at some of the same barriers today. You might have been a lost person and you know you need Jesus, but you feel like you have no right to come to him. You know you are from a doomed race. You have discovered that religion will not work. You have experienced the rejection of the religious people around you. Yet you still want to see your life changed. Let me tell you that you can come to Jesus this morning. And if you do, he will not turn you away. In John 6:37, he says these words, "All those the Father gave me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." I will never drive away. You may feel driven away sometimes, but just because you feel it don't mean it's right, it's true. Because Jesus has made this promise that he'll never leave you. He'll never drive you away. He has made this promise, folks. And you know what? I know of one person who sticks to the words. It is Jesus Christ. If he said it, he means it. So he sticks to his words. Others have been praying and seeking God about matters that trouble the heart. You have cried out to him and asked him to do this or do that in your life, and there has been no answer. You feel like giving up. Let me encourage you today. God's silence is not an indication of God's unwillingness to meet your need. God's silence serves to test our faith and to remind us that he operates on a different schedule than we do. And we have to understand that and wait on him when it's time to wait. The question is, what obstacle are you facing today? Persist in seeking the Lord and on seeking his throne, and in his time, you will see every barrier fall in your life if you are able to wait. Your faith will not be defined by what you receive from God, but by what it takes to stop you from getting to God. What's stopping you from getting to God? Do not allow your obstacle to stand in the way. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your focus on him. Do not allow coronavirus to stop you. Do not allow anything to stop you from seeing Jesus. Keep your eyes on him. Because it's the one trick that the evil one has. It's the one trick to stop us from looking at Jesus. To focus or stare at our circumstance. Because once we do that, he is able to get a hold of us. So the opportunity of faith. Look at the opportunities of faith. As Jesus speaks with this woman, he never slams the door of hope in her face. In Mark's account of this encounter, he records Jesus saying, "Let the children first be filled." Let the children first be filled. That word "first" was what this brokenhearted mother needed to hear. The word "first." All right, let the children be served first. So Jesus did not say, you cannot have what you are asking or looking for. He didn't say that. He said, I've come to the children of Israel. All right, and they must be filled first. So she took that to mean that there was seconds. Okay, so let the children eat first. But there are always seconds, and I'm going to wait for the second. Second is always there, and it's always available. And you know, God's second is just as good as his first, because God is good all the time, and all of the time, there you go. So the first is just as good as the second. In verses 26 through 27, it says, now she heard Jesus compare her to a dog. The Jews looked at all non-Christian people as dogs. The word dog is used as a metaphor of people who are unclean, filthy, and dirty. But Jesus used this word in Matthew 7, verse 6. The word used here is different. The word means a little puppy or little puppies. That's what it means. It doesn't refer to the filthy, unclean, but to a dog that is a pet in a house. All right? So the animal lives in the house and is a part of the family in that house. It's what it is referring to. I imagine that Jesus was giving her a twinkle when he said these words to her, you know, trying to just let her know that he's giving her a test or whatever that may be. So she says, yes, it is. All right? Yes, it is. Jesus says it is not good. She said, no, it is good. Why is she saying it's good? Because he's referring to a family pet. And she says, usually the pet in the house eats the crumb from the master's table. So I'm not asking you to give me the whole. And she says, so let me have the crumb that falls from the master's table. But even the dogs are often treated to a morsel, for the woman says to Jesus, from the table. So let me have mine. All I'm saying for a crumb is for a crumb, she said. I'm just asking for a crumb. She was not asking for everything, but just for that portion. So when we continue to seek the Lord in spite of every hindrance that we face, we will eventually see him come through for us, because he wants to come through for us. If there's one thing God wants, is to keep telling us, keep going, keep pushing, move on, because he wants you to hit that mark, the mark where the blessing is. There is always a mark in our lives where the blessing is. And the evil one doesn't want us to get there. God wants us to get there. He pushes us to get there. Keep moving. So whatever the problem is that you have this morning, I just want to let you know that a crumb from the master's hands is enough. Let's keep pushing until we hear from him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people say, amen. Amen.